Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues, that's the name of this show on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News.
Good morning, Tim.
OneNewsNow.com. Walker, we're going to have our Facebook page going.
We are. The Facebook page will be up and running. We'll be live streaming the video feed there, so you can go there and watch the show and comment on the show. Share your thoughts, and then all the news stories that Fred mentioned and Steve mentions will be posted there also.
Okay. OneNewsNow.com is our news website, but you can also check out, as Walker said, and Fred oversees that, OneNewsNow.com. But our Today's Issues Facebook page, we're live video streaming the show, and you can go and comment there on what we're discussing. I guess it's 6:30 this morning. My phone goes off. My alarm clock goes off, but I also had received a text from you, Walker, saying there had been a mass shooting in Las Vegas overnight, or at least from the time I went to bed to the time I woke up. I don't know when exactly it happened, but Fred, everybody knows about this. What happened, but review for us what did happen.
Well, the reason most Americans woke up to this morning, because it happened at just about 10 after 10 Las Vegas time last night. There was a concert being held just off the strip, Las Vegas strip, called Route 91 Harvest Festival. More than 20,000 people were in an open venue listening to music. In fact, it was the last music act of last night. And what happened was what many people thought was fireworks or something going off, and we're going to play a cut for you, just what those people heard as the concert was coming to a close last night.
What's going on there, Walker? You understand guns?
Yeah, that's something I've never heard on U.S. soil. You hear that when you watch videos of Afghanistan and Iraq, when you're fighting with terrorists, you hear those gunshots from U.S. soldiers. But that, I've never heard that frequent of gunshots in the U.S. I've never experienced that, never been around it, and I've been around guns a lot. That's a fully automatic weapon, not a semi. A semi-automatic, you can pull the trigger really fast and shoot 20, 30 rounds without reloading. But that is a fully automatic weapon, what sounds like hundreds of rounds going off at once.
And what we now know is from the Mandalay Hotel and Resort, which overlooked this open venue, if you were to watch TV and the shots from there right now, it doesn't have balconies on the hotel rooms. It's pure plate glass, kind of gold-plated glass. What you're seeing right now are two of the windows in one room of that hotel on the 32nd floor. You will see where those windows have been blown out. Presumably the shooter, who we now know is 64-year-old Stephen Paddock of Mesquite, Nevada, he obviously, before he opened fire, blew those windows out and began to open fire on people below. First responders there. Police were able to detect where he was, 32nd floor of this hotel. They go up there. They blow the door on the hotel room. Paddock is dead. He's killed himself. What they found was at least 10 weapons in there, and apparently he had booked into the hotel last Thursday, set up platforms where he was going to carry out his deed and open fire. This shooting continued and continued for what seemed to be endless. But at the end of it, there's at least, what we know this morning, at least 50 people killed. And now they're saying up to upwards of 400 people either had to be taken to hospital by ambulances or they have checked themselves into a hospital because of wounds, perhaps of injuries they received in trying to flee. What we have for you right now are some eyewitness accounts from people as they were fleeing the scene. And the first one, we don't know her name, is a young lady, but she gives you a little bit of an idea of what it was like in that chaos.
We ran, and we ran. And I still wasn't even sure if it was actually bullets until one of the times we paused, our friend was like, the guy next to us got shot. There were so many people, just normal citizens, doctors, cops, paramedics, like nurses, just off duty. Everyone's just communicating and working together. You got this person, you got this person, you got this person. It was completely horrible, but it was absolutely amazing to see all the people come together.
Yeah, as I say, we don't know the identification of that lady, but she was one of the blessed ones who was able to escape that. Also, just want to play for you briefly another eyewitness account. And just to set this up a little bit, on the screen, this young man, he has no shirt on. And you may think that's a bit odd, but he's going to explain to you why he is in this situation. He is also one of those who was able to flee.
I was here enjoying the concert just like every other fellow American here. And, you know, things happen, brother. You know, this, what goes on here isn't American. That's not what we're about. And this is not okay. Other people run. That's okay. That's on them. I'm here for everybody else.
How many people did you help? How many people
did
you see down?
How many people did I see down? Probably close to 20.
In various, obviously, conditions?
Look, man, I'm not wearing any clothes up here. Everyone who I thought, you know, has passed on, they have an article of my clothing covering their eyes, covering part of their body. Everyone who I saw breathing, I helped, man.
Fire and maybe obscured a bit by the...
So,
50 people, last report I heard was 50 people
are dead.
Are dead. And over 406 wounded?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, from what I'm reading from Reuters, yeah. Some of those injuries may have been caused because people were trampling.
Yes.
People to get away. So I'm not saying, I don't think all of them were necessarily shot.
No.
Right.
No, the initial report said there were 200 others wounded, but the 400 figure, as you say, Ed, may be people who sustained injuries as they were trying to flee.
Right.
There were barriers around this area, 4 foot, five foot barriers.
Which is ironically for security.
Yes.
For people not getting in.
Yes, they were checking people as they were going into this venue. But then this shooting breaks out, people begin to realize fairly quickly that's not fireworks. People are being shot, so they begin to flee in all different directions. And some of the video that we've been able to see this morning certainly gives us the indication that they could have been injured as they were fleeing.
Well, and to Walker's point, this is not a sound that Americans are used to hearing.
No.
Now, we would call it machine gun fire. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's exact. I think, you know, automatic rifle would be, you know, but people are not used to hearing it. So, of course, they're going to think it's fireworks because
yeah.
They're not used to it. We don't live in Afghanistan
right.
or Iraq.
Right. And I want to reset this for our listeners. In Las Vegas, Nevada, about 10 o'clock their time last night, a gunman opened fire from 32nd floor of a nearby hotel. And right now the reports are 50 plus dead, 400 plus injured in some way. And I want to play, I was reading up on this morning and I was listening to a firefighter who I couldn't figure out whether he was a local firefighter or from out of town. But either way, he was a firefighter off duty attending the concert with his wife. And this all breaks out, and he explains what he had to do following this.
I rechecked everybody. I was with another medic from the fire department, and I went back inside, and I mean, it's just something that we do. I wasn't trying to be a hero. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't leaving anybody behind.
How many people do you think were taken out of here that were shot? If you had to guess.
Honestly, I probably pronounced 15 to 20 people inside. It's a very sad day. Well, I know that... Unfortunately, in the parking lot, backside of Mandalay Bay right here, I had a couple gentlemen. I was doing a staging area with some of the bodies that I was dragging up the stairs, which was really sad. unfortunately, right over here, there's a gentleman that's with his wife and the other gentleman down here. They were using tables and some of the freezers and stuff to pull people out of here. I just went down to recheck with one of them, a guy, a gentleman I just met. I didn't put a face on it, but he was from Alaska here with his wife, and it's a sad day.
I mean, when we walked up on this earlier, I said that was probably used as a gurney. When I just met you, you walked over and you said, you know what that is? And I said, that's a freezer. That's probably used as a gurney. So you're telling me that really was, they used
it as a gurney, and the tables that were inside is, were as gurneys as well.
Wow.
Yeah, that sound you played earlier, with the you called it an automatic?
A fully automatic weapon.
Okay, so, and this guy's on the 32nd floor, so he's looking down. He planned this for days, I guess. So he's looking down on the crowd, in some estimates of 20,000 gathered for a concert or a series of concerts there yesterday evening. So, or last night. Wow. So if this guy's got that kind of weaponry and he's looking and he knows what he's doing. So you're telling me, Walker, he's just sitting there. Is this a, excuse me for my ignorance.
Yeah.
But is this a situation where is he having to hold up a rifle, or is this one of those things you see in battles like in Afghanistan, something where a guy is maybe holding two hands on a rifle and he's just moving it around?
No. I'm not sure 100%, but I would suspect that this gun was on what they call a bipod.
That's what I'm asking. This guy isn't holding a gun up on his shoulder going pop, pop, pop,
that
pop, pop,
gun
pop.
That you hear right there, that's a big gun. Now, it's not one you mount on a truck, but it's not one you just carry around on your shoulder.
But it's not you're thinking of like a 50 caliber machine gun or something. It's not something like that.
Yeah.
From war movies.
Most likely.
You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm.
Yes.
Most likely he was laid out on the hotel floor with these guns mounted and
that's why he built the platforms.
Yeah, he wasn't even aiming. I really doubt he was even aiming. When you got a crowd of 20,000 people,
you're gonna hit people.
You just pull the trigger and just that's why you hear the continuous fire.
Do we know anything about this? Has there been anything? What was his name? And where was he from? And is there been any?
He's
explanation for his motive for this?
64-year-old Stephen Paddock. He's from Mesquite, which is not far from Nevada, which is not far from Las Vegas. He's got a brother in Florida. Some media interviewed him this morning. He's in total shock. He says he would never dream this, that his brother would ever do this kind of thing. Early reports this morning, police in Nevada were looking for what they called an accomplice, a woman who they described as Asian, older Asian woman, who they believe was in the room with him or whatever. They have captured her, arrested her, and are questioning her as to what she may have known. Now, there was one report that said she worked at the hotel. And so, but we're entering into speculation here. Perhaps she was able to help him get all this weaponry up to the 32nd floor, to that room where, as we mentioned a few moments ago, he checked in last Thursday.
Yes, I mean, because that's an obvious question. Mm-hmm. Is you say, well, how does a guy get 10, rifles up there? And then apparently whatever he used for his staging.
Yes.
You know, how do you get all that stuff there with nobody noticing it?
Yeah.
And again, some of the things we're hearing may change a little bit because you get all these reports flowing. And so, but earlier reports indicated that this woman worked at the hotel.
And I'm not surprised by a report that just came out in the last 20 minutes that ISIS is claiming that this man was one of one of their soldiers that he converted to their cause several months ago. And this is one of those things, guys, we've been talking about this. This may be totally false, totally false. But I'm sure the FBI will be acting on this. Just a few moments ago, before we came into the studio, President Donald Trump came to the microphone there at the White House and had these words for the nation.
Hundreds of our fellow citizens are now mourning the sudden loss of a loved one, a parent, a child, a brother or sister. We cannot fathom their pain. We cannot imagine their loss. To the families of the victims, we are praying for you, and we are here for you. And we ask God to help see you through this very dark period. Scripture teaches us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. We seek comfort in those words, for we know that God lives in the hearts of those who grieve.
That is President Donald Trump speaking to the nation just a few moments ago. He called what happened in Las Vegas last night an act of pure evil. He also said that he will be flying out to Las Vegas on Wednesday to meet with the first responders there. This, of course, in the wake, he's going to Puerto Rico tomorrow. So a tough time for the president.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. You can check us out. We're live video streaming the show today at on our Today's Issues Facebook page. So check that out. We appreciate you listening wherever you may be tuned in across the country to American Family Radio. Well, when this kind of thing happens, the first thing I think of is Islamic Jihad, because that's the normal cause.
Well, in fact, last year, the Orlando nightclub, 49 dead. This
eclipses it,
but it was only last year.
But that was Islamic Jihad.
And that was an Islamic, those were Islamic State militants.
Right. Well, it was one guy, wasn't it?
Yes,
in Orlando.
Right. He pledged allegiance to Islamic State militants, yes.
So when I first heard about this, when Walker first texted me, I was thinking, well, ISIS has struck, or some Islamic jihadist has struck again, you know. But we don't know that right now. This guy does not fit the profile of an ISIS-type follower, but from what I know yet. ISIS has claimed responsibility. Now, who's reporting that? AP? Fox? Who else?
A number of media outlets.
But we don't, you know, ISIS can claim anything.
That's right.
You know, it sounds like to me, just from what we know here early on, nobody else is saying, well, this guy converted to Islam and that I knew him and he did this. Also, you got this woman here who was his companion, was down in the crowd of the concert, telling the people like an hour beforehand, you're all going to die.
Yeah, I think he was too. Walker, you were telling us.
Yes, I'm going to find here's the source. All right, this is from The Express in the UK, which they report on U.S. news every day. So this is The Telegraph, I believe. But they reported that a female and a male in the crowd 45 minutes before this shooting were telling people in the crowd that they're going to die, and then a security ended up escorting those two individuals out. Then 45 minutes later, the shooting starts.
Excuse me for asking what may be a dumb question. Was that the killer and this woman?
I can't say that right now. I'm not sure. They just said one woman who was at the concert claimed an unidentified woman had told other concert goers that they were, quote, all going to die after pushing her way to the front of the venue, and then security escorted them out.
Well, if that was his companion, then she knew what was going to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's alive, and she's been arrested.
She'll be an accomplice.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course, he killed himself.
Yes.
Killed himself.
Now, one other thing, at least one other thing, there's all sorts of things we can talk about, but Democrats immediately, and this is also typical following these kind of things, Democrats, it says, this is a Fox News story, swiftly renewed their push for gun control within hours of the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. And so Democrats immediately use tragedies like this for political purposes. Now, Hillary Clinton immediately started tweeting. She hammered the NRA. She said, the crowd fled at the sound. The National Rifle Association.
Yeah, was she hammering the NRA
within
hours?
Within hours.
Oh my
gosh! That's right.
Gosh.
She said in tweeting, The crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make it easier to get. First of all, I at least know what I don't know, so I don't try to talk authoritatively about things having to do with guns or the military, which I don't know firsthand. But I do know enough that she is even more ignorant than I am, because a silencer, we you know, these movies we see where it's a, that's not the way silencers work.
No.
Silencers, they take about 25% of the sound off, but it doesn't muffle the sound. You would still hear the fire of this automatic rifle. But she's within hours tweeting about these kind of things, showing her ignorance, but using tragedy for political purposes. That's disgusting.
Well, they learned from the master, didn't they? When Barack Obama was president, he unapologetically, every time, whether it was Sandy Hook, whatever the case may be, he said, "You guys may not like it, but every time one of these incidents happened, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to preach about gun control, gun control, gun control." So, as I said, the president unapologetically, President Barack Obama said that every time one of these incidents happened, he wanted to use these incidents for his political agenda.
And I don't even think it's right for conservatives to blame Hollywood in the aftermath of these kinds of tragedies. Let's let the law enforcement do their jobs, find out what was motivating this person. When we get some information, we can have a discussion afterwards, but you don't use tragedy for political gain.
I'm just guessing you're going to talk gun control at this point, and because I'm just thinking maybe his guns he was using were already illegal.
It's sounding like if you've got a big arsenal of guns up there,
right,
and one of them's a fully automatic, which is not even legal in the U.S. to have a fully automatic, a citizen.
Right.
That's already, it's already sounding like he's got illegal weapons in the first place.
So Hillary Clinton is commenting on trying to score political points on gun control before we even know this fellow may, even if you buy her argument, this fellow may have had guns, as Walker's saying, which were already illegal.
Right.
So, I mean, there's nothing more a gun control law could have done to have stopped this guy from doing what he did.
Right.
That's the point. And she's trying to act like, by that tweet or that whatever she said, she's trying to act like.
It makes it sound like, now I'm not saying this about Hillary Clinton, but when you do this, it makes it sound like your first concern is not the people who have suffered and the people who are suffering. Your first concern is to try to push your agenda. That's the way it makes it look. Mm-hmm. So that's why you should take some time, let the information come out, and then we can have a discussion. But your first thought should be...
She said, what, a silencer? What did she say?
Yeah, she said the crowd fled at the sound of gunshots. Imagine the deaths if the shooter had a silencer, which the NRA wants to make easier.
That just sounds goofy.
Can you imagine if a conservative went out saying, right after this, saying, we need more guns, we need more concealed carry permits, because that would have stopped this?
Right.
They would get blasted.
What the left would be saying? Oh, yeah. 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 Well, we got to take a break right here. I'm thinking, I don't know a lot about guns, no more than Ed and I, Walker knows all about it, but can you put a silencer on a automatic rifle? I don't even know. You know what I'm saying?
Where do
you,
yeah.
That just sounds goofy to me.
Yeah.
For somebody who's...
I think you can have a some sort of silencer on, I think, on a sniper rifle, but I don't know. There are people out there who know these kind of things.
You're right. At least the president is saying right now, you know, condolences to the families.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's bind together here. You know, may God be with the people.
She says, our grief isn't enough. We can and must put politics aside, stand up to the NRA, and work together to try to stop this from happening again. In other words, vote like Democrats.
Hillary Clinton. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
This is not a day and age for the faint of heart. And I guess the main message that I think we must communicate is that we must all be ready spiritually because we don't know what the future holds.
We'll also hear news and analysis from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Peace. Be still. Why are you so afraid?
Our nation is in the throes of an especially treacherous hurricane season. The magnitude of devastation is heartbreaking. But with heartbreak comes hope. Faithful believers are going in after the storms to help survivors.
We have seen the hand of God, which no man can control.
Disasters bring an opportunity for you and I to show Jesus.
Whether hurricanes, disease, financial ruin, or even loss of life, God is faithful through the storm. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. As He is faithful, may we continue to be faithful to share God's love. A reminder from the American Family Association.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. There is evil in this world, an evil so dark and disturbing that we cannot comprehend. We saw a glimpse of that evil overnight in Las Vegas, a crazed gunman opening fire on country music fans on the Strip. They say it's the worst mass shooting in American history. Dozens are dead, hundreds injured, a nation in shock. But there is also good in this world, and that good overcame the evil on the Vegas Strip. The first responders who carried away the injured, the off-duty police officers who sprang into action, the hotels who offered refuge, neighbors like Jessica Perez, who was in bed at home when the shooting happened. She woke up her family members, they loaded supplies into their car, and they headed towards the danger. So for the nation, I offer this prayer: Lord, heal the wounded, comfort the grieving, bless the peacemakers, and deliver us from evil. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Walker Wildman, and Fred Jackson. Of course, we've been discussing what happened in Las Vegas last night. And you had a fella who killed himself, by the way, at 32nd floor, 32 floors above a crowd of what's estimated at 20,000 people. And he uses what sounds like an automatic weapon to mow down people in this crowd, and they're saying at least 50 are dead and several hundred are injured, either by gunshots or by trampling, which took place, as you can imagine, when people finally figured out what was going on. Nobody knows the motive for why the 64-year-old man from nearby Las Vegas plotted and planned this and carried out this this horrific massacre. He and his wife, well, not his wife, but his companion, I guess, evidently were the people who, I don't know about evidently, could have well been the people who went down to the crowd, warning them an hour ahead of time.
Well, and I'm looking at a Fox News story. It's a video, so I cannot hear it. But the headline says that Vegas police are now saying that this woman, Mary Lou Danley, This is the one, the Asian woman, that she is no longer a person of interest and do not believe she was involved.
Okay.
So I can't read anything yet.
Some
so.
Are saying that she's not even in the country right now.
Okay.
She's not in the country. Apparently he was using her card to get in the hotel and gamble in the hotel, her employee card.
Okay.
Maybe he stole it or something.
To gamble in the hotel, and that's where the connection, that's where she was brought in as her name was brought up.
Okay.
So I'm not able to read anything at this point, and that's why we said earlier this is going to be a day and maybe a week of of information coming and going.
Yeah.
Well, we thought this, but we don't think that.
Well, I thought, you know, when you first heard it, when I first heard, I mean, as the hours have passed here and you think about this thing and you think about what's rational. Of course, this is it's an irrational act. But it was rationally carried out. Does that make sense?
It was well planned.
It was well planned. But if you think about it, if it were this man and his companion, then both of I just can't imagine. It's hard for me to imagine a woman. All right, a woman with the picture of this lady on the internet. Helping this guy plan and plot this. Mm-hmm. Women don't do these kind of things. Men do. You know what I'm saying? That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you had a woman mass murderer? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So to think that she would go along with him, I was thinking to myself, she knows you're going to kill hundreds of people maybe, and she's going along with it and helping him plan and plot this in a hotel. That just doesn't sound normal.
One thing I'm kind of curious about, we do know that he checked into the hotel last Thursday. Now, hotel rooms have maid service. It sounds like he had at least 10 weapons. He had platforms that he had set up at two windows in his room. How did he do that?
Well, you put a do not disturb on your door.
Yeah.
For 4 days? You know, that
well,
just,
I
that,
don't know. Some people do, but I mean...
That's just
still,
a little strange.
You're still risking. Coming
I don't. In. I'll just say, and it may sound strange, and I am, you know, a little odd about these kind of things. But if I stay in a hotel 3 or 4 days, I don't have the ladies come in and clean. As long as I got towels and stuff.
Right. Yeah. If they don't need, there's no need to come in. Change sheets every day. I put mine on for 3 days at a time. If I don't need a.
Yeah.
If I'm by myself and got plenty of towels, soap and everything.
Yeah, because I don't want, it's a simple reason, really. I don't want to have to pick stuff off the bed for them, you know.
Right. So it probably wouldn't be uncommon, especially in Las Vegas, for that to happen. But yeah, you are risking somebody coming in the room.
They do have access to your room. I'm assuming he didn't stay in the room since Thursday. So there would have been periods when he wasn't in the room. The maids do have keys. And management could get anyway.
But his brother's been interviewed and doesn't know why he did this.
That's right.
And so we don't know. I guess that's about all we know. Let's move on to the next. Got another story. By the way, there was an Islamic Jihad attack in France over the weekend. A man yelling "Allah Akbar" stabbed two women on a subway, and tried to attack others. He was shot. I'm forgotten, but it was, you know, I was reading the news last night from, I was reading the Daily Mail out of the UK, this was like the 10th story down. So, I mean, this is before what happened in Las Vegas. My point is, the Islamic Jihad that takes place in Europe is now, it's happening every few days. So it's not getting attention.
There was another incident in Canada.
There was, yes.
In Alberta, Canada. And this guy was a Somali refugee.
Right.
And
that happened on Saturday, didn't
had,
it?
Saturday, tried to stab a police officer. Police officer was able to defend himself. He then escaped in a car and somehow got into a U-Haul truck or cube truck, I think they call it. He was chased down by police. And they arrested him, and Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, is calling it a terrorist attack. And they do know this guy is connected to the Islamic State. So there was that incident. Fortunately, no one died. He tried, as he was trying to escape from the police in this rental truck, he plowed into a crowd deliberately. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that before in France. So that was, yes, another incident, this one in Alberta, Canada.
I'm just saying that Islamic Jihad attacks around the world are so frequent that they're not even making the news anymore, you know. We'll see what if they'll find out what the reason was for this mass murder in Las Vegas. So many families affected by this, obviously, around the country, because Las Vegas is one of the top tourist destinations in the U.S., if not the world. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Have we talked about Puerto Rico, by the way?
We have not yet this morning, no.
But I do want to get to your Benghazi story in just a moment, but I don't know if you've been paying attention to this story out of Puerto Rico. They're just completely, it's an island of 3 to 4 million people. It's a U.S. territory, and that Category 5 hurricane, Maria, just raked across the island at full speed. I mean, there was nothing impeding it. It didn't, like, brush the coast or anything like that. It was like a full-on smackdown, if you will, of the island. It's not a good word to use, but I think you get the idea. And it destroyed basically the infrastructure, what was already a weak infrastructure system. The electrical grid is out. They're having a hard time getting water, food, basic necessities of life into Puerto Rico. And you can imagine 3 to 4 million people. Think about that for just a minute. And people are on the docks waiting to get on cruise ships to try to get out of the country. I don't know how you do that without a passport, and maybe they do have passports and they're just trying to get somewhere. Some of them saying never to come back again because they won't be able to rebuild. It'll take a long time to rebuild. It's kind of one of those situations where you say, where do you start? You know, where do you start? But the thing about it is the political tensions are building here. The mayor of San Juan is into it with the president.
Yes, and they're firing back and forth verbally between the two. But there's another mayor in a different city in Puerto Rico who's saying the United States government is doing a terrific job. They're doing all that they can. The big problem in Puerto Rico right now is the power. They have no power, no electricity. Right. And it's going to take some time. They were hit actually by two hurricanes. Got to remember that. There was one. It's kind of back to back. So just the island decimated. Water is hard to get because there's no pumps working.
Well, here's what I sense is going to happen here. The liberal media and the Democrats, especially, you're talking about Hillary Clinton politicizing the shooting in Las Vegas. The Democrats are about to start beating up President Trump. I know that's surprising, but to a lot of us. But for Puerto Rico's problems, okay? Because the president already said, like, 3 or 4 days ago, by the way, he commended the governor of Puerto Rico, not the mayor of San Juan.
The mayor of San Juan, Carmen Yulín Cruz, is a big Hillary supporter.
Yeah.
In 2016.
Yeah.
That's
and President, and President Trump knows that.
Yeah.
But the governor of Puerto Rico, I guess, he's complimented, and they've worked together so far. But here's the way I see it is the liberal media and the Democrats are going to show pictures from Puerto Rico and everything because we can't save the whole country in the next 2 weeks and rebuild it. It's going to become President Trump's fault. President Trump's kind of like Bush with Katrina, you know. So they're about to get ready to use this to beat President Trump over the head for the next probably year. And it'll probably turn into a racial thing. They'll start saying, well, if this were different, you know, they'll start turning into something racial. You know, he doesn't like Hispanics. Puerto Ricans are not
Puerto
Hispanic.
Ricans. They're
not
Hispanic. They're Hispanic. But
they're Hispanic. Okay. But you get where I'm going with this? Because they're already starting to do this.
They tried it with Melania Trump, the first lady's heels. They tried to
bash her. H-E-E-L-S?
Her high heels that she wore down to Houston, that area.
Right.
They tried to bash her over that, and that just didn't work. But, yeah, they're opportunists.
They're going to come after. Here's the situation. President Trump tweeted out, and he said, listen, we're going to help what we can do, all we can with Puerto Rico, but they were already in serious financial problems.
$70 billion.
He wants to know what they're going to do about their debt problem. Mm-hmm. That's what the president. In addition, we're going to help them immediately with the try to help do what we can here. But think about it for just a minute. Number one is the presumption that people make sometimes that it's the federal government, the United States federal government's problem to fix everything, you know what I'm saying, immediately, is just, I don't think that's fair. I don't care who the president is, whether it be a Democrat or a Republican, because what I'm hearing, what I'm reading is here's what they're wanting to say, the liberals and the liberal media, the Democrats. They're going to show pictures from Puerto Rico, and they're going to say, see, President Trump doesn't care about these people. All right? That's what's going to happen more and more. When, if you think about it, you got an island of three or four million people, and you're an island out there in the Caribbean. Hmm. You can't send enough ships or drop enough personnel in there to fix that. You just can't. It's going to take years to overcome that, and when I read things like from the San Juan mayor, like, you know, they got to help us, they're not doing enough, I'm going, I don't know. There's just a part of me that resents people thinking that the U.S. owes them something or else they can't help themselves. You understand what I'm saying? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, let's go back over the last five.
They are U.S. territory. I don't know. And President Trump has said, I do care, and we're going to do what we can.
And we are sending. We are sending water.
But you can't fix this. You can't fix the problem that it's been utter devastation. You can't fix that.
Let's go back over the last 5 or 6 weeks. We had a hurricane hit Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a hurricane hit Florida.
Right.
And they can't find the mainstream media and the Democrats, people to complain about the federal response.
Right.
It's been all
That's
praise
true.
For FEMA, you know, and comparing it to Katrina and saying, wonderful job's done. And then you have this hurricane that hits Puerto Rico. There are thousands of military personnel and others from the feds that are on the ground
right.
in Puerto Rico right.
right
now, doing everything that they can, mm-hmm. but their power grid is
right.
antiquated.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
It's in terrible shape, and
it
they're doing
was
their
before
very best.
Before the hurricane.
Before the hurricane.
Okay, so listen, if you got something like that were to happen here in the mainland, over the United States, like we had happen in Florida, for example, with the Irma,
mm-hmm.
that was Irma, right?
These mm-hmm. hurricanes. Yes.
Okay, then you can you send these trucks in from power companies in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Missouri, and they all go to wherever the problem is, in this case in Florida and in Georgia, and they go down there and, you know, takes them a month, and they got everybody back on
mm-hmm.
Power. You can't send trucks from Ohio to Puerto Rico, okay?
Right.
You just can't. So you see the problem, that the logistical problem is created by where this is, and they are U.S. territory. I'm not sure exactly what all the obligations are of the U.S. federal government with a territory.
It's mainly just military support, right?
I don't know, but here's part of the problem. We probably need to look that up, but it's even if you could get the trucks to Puerto Rico, you put them on a ship and get them there, because their power grid was so antiquated. Yeah, I mean, what are you going to fix? You know, down in Florida, you got light poles.
Right.
We can bring more light poles. We got the transformers and all those
right.
kinds of things, you know, for the power. It's all relatively universal in the United States. But if you're dealing with an antiquated power grid,
right.
they're going to go down there and go, I it's like television.
There's nothing to work with here.
If you have an right. old television with tubes
yeah.
and you say, well, you got to send me some TV repairman, and they come in and they go, well, I've never worked on one of these.
Right.
I don't have any tubes.
Right.
I don't even understand what this is.
Right.
And I think that's at least part of the problem. Plus, there's so much poverty there mm-hmm. that you're looking at literally rebuilding an entire country.
And they're already
broke.
And that's
more money than we've got.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to. It's going to be interesting to see what if the government sends them. How much money we're going to send to Puerto Rico? I don't know what that's going to look like. Did they ever? Did Congress ever pack? Did they ever pass a financial relief package for Irma in Florida and Georgia and those kind of places?
Oh, I'm not sure. About
they did
that.
For Harvey. You remember that? The yes. down payment.
I know they bailed out Puerto Rico last year.
Yeah,
but we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're back in partially. Financial trouble. Yes, yeah. Again. Yeah. But the president is going there tomorrow
to Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, and then he's going out to Las Vegas. This,
have you ever seen so many things happen to one president so quick, so soon? I'm talking about things that are beyond his control.
That's right. Last like five or six weeks. It's tough.
Huh? Natural it's disasters tough. And, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. The economy is doing relatively well, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's what manufacturing output stats came out this morning in the midst of everything else going on, and it's the best month last month since 2004. Mm-hmm. So things are cooking, but you're not going to hear the mainstream media talk about that too much.
No. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Eva Tagliano and Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, I mean. You can go to our Today's Issues Facebook page and comment on the stories we're discussing. You can access the information yourself there as Walker's posting the articles from which we get our conversation here. You can also comment on the stories that we have mentioned.
By the way, I am trying to look up, and it's just too complicated, on the territories of the United States. It's very, very complex, so I'm not even going to try.
You mean what our relationship is?
Yeah, what our obligations are.
You've got Guam is a U.S. territory.
I think there's 15 or so territories mm-hmm. Of the United States. Let's see here.
U.S. Virgin Islands.
You got American
Guam,
Samoa.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, Northern Mariana Islands, Baker Island, Howland Island, Jarvis Island.
Never heard of them.
Johnson. Some of these are uninhabited, I'm pretty sure. Kingman mm-hmm. Reef. Johnston Atoll, Midway, Wake Island, population 150. The last six or seven I named are uninhabited, but the United States Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, Northern Mariana Islands, Guam has 159,000. But Puerto Rico is the largest, as far as I can tell, 3.5 million. American Samoa, only 55,000. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
but you said, Fred, you said Puerto Rico was how much in debt or how much?
I heard a figure of $70 billion early on in this. And this is part of the equation that President Trump is saying to Congress. All right. Yes, we're going to send help to Puerto Rico, but we have to incorporate into that their debt problem because going back to their power grid.
Well,
the solution, what he's saying is that part of the solution to getting the power back on has to be redo the infrastructure down there so we're not back to another problem within 6 months or a year.
Aren't they a socialist country, though?
I think they're a welfare state.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not sure if that's on the way to being socialist. I'm not sure where the line would be there. But
there's a reason they're in such dire straits.
You know, I don't know other than...
they've got tourism.
Tourism. I don't know what else they've got, mm-hmm. you know, in order to, you know, for people to earn a living.
You know what's ironic, and this is a bad situation in Puerto Rico, I'm not making light of the situation they're in, but the U.S., that the president is trying to preach to Puerto Rico about their financial troubles, which I think he's right in doing that, but... What about our financial troubles? Mm-hmm. You know, why not, before we pass the next budget, why don't we figure out what we're doing wrong?
Well, you know? Walker, because we have printing presses and Puerto Rico doesn't. Next question.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is that we're in no position really to spend hundreds of, I don't know how much we're going to spend on. Anytime there's a natural disaster, our Congress just passes a bill within days. It's amazing how fast they can get things done when the spotlight's on them. Nobody, and a lot of people don't even know what's in the. How can you write a bill for $8 billion in 3 days?
Like, yeah, and know exactly where all that money's going.
Know where the money's going.
I'm looking at a little article. This is on Wikipedia, but this does say, this article says that according to the World Bank, the economy of Puerto Rico is classified as a high-income economy and as the most competitive economy in Latin America. They do have manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, textiles, petrochemicals, and electronics, and then a lot of service industry. So
they have more than tourism.
Yes. So the debt problem would be something you would think that they could perhaps fix with the right political
solutions. A lot of Puerto Ricans are wanting out of the country, and they want to go to Florida. Because there's a story on Drudge saying if that happens and they go to Florida, that it could turn the state of Florida Democratic. But Florida's kind of a even state,
right?
Republican, Democrat. But if you have mass... But I don't know again how that works exactly. You don't automatically become citizens just because you come to the U.S.
I'm not sure.
We'll see about that. But that was a story off Drudge. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What else you got, Fred?
Washington, D.C., site of a trial opening this morning. Opening statement is going to be made today in the case of Ahmed Abu Katala. I'm sure everybody knows him. He is the suspected mastermind of the 2012 Benghazi Libya attacks. And 3 years after he was captured by U.S. Special Forces in Libya, he was then brought to the U.S. on a 13-day trip aboard a Navy ship. So he is said to be the mastermind behind the Libya attacks, which, of course, were in the news for a long time, became a big political story as to what President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State at the time, and others in the Obama administration knew. We believe they certainly misled the American people, blaming those attacks on a video initially. And then finally, when the truth came out, they had to admit it had nothing to do with a Islam video. It had everything to do with a simple attack on Americans there. Of course, there were 4 Americans who were killed in that. Now, one of the other things that makes this trial very, very interesting, it is being heard in a civilian court. And the indications that we are getting, the lawyer or lawyers that have been appointed for Ahmed Abu Katala are likely to make this point right off the bat. Did he have constitutional rights aboard that ship, that Navy ship, that 13-day trip? That brought him to the United States. Did he have constitutional rights to legal representation? Because we know the way the court system works, that may be a point that's brought up before a federal judge. Some have said he should have been taken to Guantanamo Bay. He was not. He was brought to the civilian courts, which is part of the agenda of former President Barack Obama and his attorney general. They wanted these people brought to civilian courts here in the United States. The bar for truth and what can be done with regards to his defense, far broader in a civilian court than it would be in a military court. So we're about to see the arguments that the lawyers for this suspected terrorist, the arguments that are going to be made.
All right, we will be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we just encourage you, I know you will today, to be in prayer for the people affected by the massacre in Las Vegas, Nevada, overnight. We'll be back with more in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.